When the Bible says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right, so who's going to champion his will being done on earth as it is in heaven? Who's going to lead the way? Us. It's us. It's the church. But if we forget who we are, we get blended in, we chameleonize with the world, and they can't tell us apart. Listen, what the world wants to do is to turn you into such Babylonians, as it were, so that the only difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is a Christian goes to church on Sunday and a non-Christian doesn't. Everything else is the same.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Here is something Pastor Wayne would like you to think about. It is that where you are is not who you are. Try take a second and wrap your brain around that one. Better yet, let's get Pastor Wayne on the mic and let him break it down for us. Here he is with a message entitled, Who Are You?
Well, welcome everybody. And I'm so glad you're part of the foundation. But we can never forget who we are. We're not just a bunch of religious people gathering together and doing some spiritual calisthenics on Sunday morning and going home and saying that's good enough. No. There is an actual purpose for you being here, an identity, an assignment, a role to play, and a responsibility that God gives to us, a calling. See, God has called me to be, and I left Hawaii. Lord, I don't know why you sent me from there, but he did. He did, and it's a calling. So I got it. And it's a calling. It's not a feeling. It's a calling. And you catch that. Now, I think it's a great privilege for me to be here and be called as a pastor of this church. But I want you to hear something. God has also called you to be a part of this church. And there's a very specific reason. And listen carefully. Your call to this church is not a lesser calling than mine. All been called. And if you have been, as we all have been, then there's a role to play. And it could be praying for or supporting, or some of you are on social media to post some things that would just spread the word. What can I do to spread the word of the kingdom of God and to somehow pave the way, pave the tarmac for people to come to the throne of God? How can I be used as an usher in the kingdom so that people who may be far from Christ can get closer? Lord, what can I do? And all of us has that responsibility to ask, to discover what that is, and then to develop those gifts, try it, and then deploy it and use it. We are all people from the kingdom of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. You're foreigners here. In fact, that's what Peter says. You're actually foreigners and aliens. I have some friends that really look like aliens, but we're all foreigners and aliens. We're here on this globe for but a moment. See, the only reason God saved you, those of you that have received Christ, the only reason God saved you was not to get you into heaven. It's not a fire escape from hell. No, salvation is more than that. If God's only reason to save you and me was to get us into heaven, then as soon as you would have raised your hand to receive Christ, bang, he would have killed you. Might as well get you home, right? Get you to heaven. No use you hanging around here, taking up somebody's space, eating somebody else's food. Get you to heaven. But no, instead, he saved you by his power, put into you his Holy Spirit, and put you back on the spinning globe for a few more spins. Why? Why? That's what you've got to find out. I love the story of a nurse, Christian nurse, that was praying for this patient in her hospital, and the guy shouldn't be dying. There was no reason that he should be, his life is starting to end because he was still young, but he wanted to die. She said, no, you're not going to die. All your vitals should be fine, but you're dying. He says, that's because I don't want to live. I have no will to live. She said, no, you're not going to die. You're going to live. He said, no. She said, yes, I'm going to pray for you. He said, don't you do that. Don't you do that. She said, I'm going to pray for you. He said, no, don't pray. I don't want to live. Well, every day he got noticeably weaker and weaker and weaker, closer to death. Finally, one day, right before she went home, the Christian nurse said to the patient, I'm going to pray. I'm getting off at 5 and I'm going to stay to 7 and I'm praying for you. He said, don't you do that. Don't you pray for me. I want to die. She said, no, God made you for a reason. And it wasn't so you die. It's so you live and you live well. He said, don't pray for me. She said, I'm going to pray for you. I don't care what you say. You're sick. You can't get out of bed anyway. So she started praying for him right at the foot of his bed. And she would pray for 2 hours. Well, the next morning she came in expecting to see him gone, dead, because his vitals were getting so low. Instead, to her surprise, here he was in bed, sitting up, taking nourishment, eating breakfast. And she was quite surprised, I guess, by the largeness of her eyes as she entered the room. And he said, you're surprised. You thought I'd be dead, said the patient. But instead, I'm alive. She said, well, frankly speaking, I am a bit surprised, but happy. He said, that's right. He said, your prayers saved me. She said, oh, no, no, no. He said, that's right. I was going to die. Your prayers healed me. And the nurse looked at him and smiled and said, no, Jesus healed you. And now you need to find out why. God has a purpose for us, that we're still alive. We still have breath in our lungs. We're still kicking. There's a reason. And that reason may not be fulfilled as of yet. And that's why he's called us here to be part of this church, so we can find out who we are. Now, some people say, well, Wayne, you don't know me. I'm in a bad place. I'm in a bad place. You don't want me in the church. Oh, listen carefully. Where you are does not define who you are. You let it be the other way around. Who you are must define where you are. Otherwise, you're going to take a temporary situation and let it define an eternal or a permanent role. No, you never let the temporary define the eternal. You let the eternal define the temporary. Can you say amen to that? I want you to be like rabid Baptist. Just say amen to everything I say. All right? So, yeah, you don't let the temporary define the eternal. You let the eternal define the temporary. Yeah. There you go. Now we're talking. And that's who we are. Where you are does not define who you are. We're all going to have setbacks. We're all going to have financial problems. But God's going to take us through that and outlast it. The only way you lose is if you drop out, become a victim and say, I lose. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm out of here. Don't do that. There are no side doors in the kingdom of God. Take no side doors. You be an outlaster. It's a new word for you. Just made it up. Be an outlaster. You're going to have stuff come against you. People talk bad about you. Be an outlaster. Even this season where everyone's all enamored with their earth suits. Let me explain. You know, you're citizens of heaven, and God has given us different earth suits. Some are darker colored, lighter colored. Some have no color. But we all have different earth suits, and we all get enamored by our earth suits. You know, this color, that color. Look, God gave you an earth suit because there's a certain assignment that you have. You're going to touch people that I will never touch, and I'm going to reach people you'll never reach. But together, we can reach them all. You understand? So keep it light. Otherwise, we start to hook our identity with our earth suits. And God is saying, no, you're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And it's going to be gone. It's going to be different. This is a very temporary situation, this earth suit. It's for an earthly assignment, not for a heavenly destiny. We're all citizens of heaven. We're from the same place. But we're put here on purpose for a reason. And yet we start to fight over earth suits and get our identity all wrapped up with our earth suits. No, very temporary. And so God says, whatever you're going through, even all of the stuff that's going on politically, outlast it. Because the kingdom of God, it says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Outlast the stuff. It's going to be a temporary thing. It's going to turn over. It's going to pass. But we can't get caught up in it and be defeated because of all of these temporary turnovers and mess ups and situations. Be an outlaster. Turn to the person next to you and say, be an outlaster. Be an outlaster. In fact, I had my daughter, she does leather work, do a keychain, and it says Outlaster on one side, New Hope West on the other. I should make some for us, you know, have that. And we'll make that for Easter, but we'll just be an outlaster. Overcome all of that because you are citizens of heaven. When the Bible says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right, so who's going to champion his will being done on earth as it is in heaven? Who's going to lead the way? Us. It's us, it's the church. But if we forget who we are, we get blended in, we chameleonize with the world, and they can't tell us apart. Listen, what the world wants to do is to turn you into such Babylonians, as it were, so that the only difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is a Christian goes to church on Sunday and a non-Christian doesn't. Everything else is the same. That's what they want, and we can't do that. We have to be representatives of heaven, because if we lose that and God calls one of these people in the world out of the world and into his kingdom, they're going to look for ushers and guides, people to lead them home, lead them to the throne, a buoy in the night. And if we look just like the world, they have no hope. Who's going to guide them? The world changes. It's like this hand here moving all around. The laws change. One day abortion's illegal, the next day it's legal. One day drugs is illegal, the next day is, ooh, you can do it. It's all over. It's just changing. There's nothing permanent. It's going to change one way, change another way, just the whim of man. So the earth is, the world is like this. Now, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His principles don't change. It's from the beginning. It's created the world, and the world stays stable because of his laws. But people don't like this here, the truths of God's word. Why? Because it doesn't look good against this. See, they want this out so that this is your only choice. And when this is your only choice, then everybody does this, right? But what happens when you give them a choice? It's like, hey, you're messing my stuff up here. Get out of the way. No, we're just going to stand. Now, the Bible says that the church is the pillar and support of the truth. Pillar and what?
Truth.
Pillar and support of the truth. You don't take the truth and batter people with it. You know, you better believe this here. No, you don't defend the truth. You don't beat people with the truth. You just make it. You are the pillar and support of the truth. So just stand. Just like Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God, having done all, you what?
Stand.
You stand. Why? Because this gives people a choice. Like this, there's no choice, right? This is all you got. Everybody does that. Well, then this happens. Now what? People have to make a
choice.
Now, they don't like that. No, I don't want to have to make a choice. This is my only choice. No, this is a better one. Oh, I know, but I don't want you to get out of here. No, we're just, now we don't fight back. In the past, we've had religious wars because we tried to fight back. And the Bible says, no, you're a pillar and support. You stand. And then one day they have to make a choice and they'll say, this is the way we want to go. But you see, if they can get the church to do this and dance with the world, when these people are called home, when the Lord says, I'm going to call you and you and you and you to come out of the world and into the kingdom, they're going to look for a guide. They're going to look for a counselor. They're going to look for a model, for an example. And the church looks just like the world. Well, who are they going to follow? Where are they going to go? This is what we've been called to do. Understand? And we need to do this with all our hearts, because God's going to call people out of here and into the kingdom. And we have to be at the entrance of that doorway to welcome them in. So God calls us to be a pillar and support of the truth. And that's who we are. The Bible never says that you're going to be the majority of the earth. No, he says you'll be the minority. But being the minority is okay. Okay. So long as you don't lose your identity. In fact, he said it this way, you're the salt of the earth. It's okay just to be a little bit of salt. It's okay to be the minority so long as you don't lose your what? Your saltiness, your savor, or your identity. So you can be a minority. It's okay. We just got to remember who we are. Amen. Let me tell you a story about a man that you may never have heard of. His name is Russell Kristoff. Russell Kristoff was walking down a supermarket aisle one day when he looked at a tin of Taster's Choice of Folgers and saw his picture on it. Now, here's the story behind the story. 18 years prior, he was asked to pose at a photo op, kind of like a little photo shoot. And they did that with 10, 15 other people. And then they said, if we choose your picture, we'll call you back for more shots and we'll do it really good. But this is just the first draft. So they took all these photos. And then 18 years later, he learned that Folgers had been using his picture without permission for 18 years. He thought, wait a minute here. So he wrote back to Folgers and they tried to shove it under the carpet. He sued, went to court, and the court awarded Russell Christoph, $15.6 million. Here's the moral of the story. It pays to know who you are. And the same is true with us, folks. We need to know who we are. You see, Israel forgot who they were, didn't they? They forgot that they were the people of God. Do you remember when Moses sent the 12 spies to check out the promised land? And he said to them, now God has given us the promised land. You just go in and see how big the grapes are. Go and see what kind of a land is it. Is it good for growing? That's all we need to know. Well, the 12 spies went in and there were giants in the land. They came back, 10 of them came back with a bad report. Moses said, well, how's the grapes? Oh, yeah, we brought some grapes, but you got to see what's bigger than the grapes. It's the giants. What? Yeah, they're big people. I think they're Samoans. There's giants in the land. Man, we can't do it. And then they said, this is very interesting. Listen, we were like grasshoppers in their sight, and so we were in ours. We were dinky and victims in their sight. And we became like that to ourselves. You see, it's so easy to change your perspective and lose your own identity by comparing yourself with everybody else instead of with what the Word of God says. What does God say? What does the world say? Well, what the world says is, no. That'll make you a victim. This will make you a victor. You see, I read the end of the book. We win. Amen. We win. How many of you are glad in the end? We win. Yeah, you betcha. Yeah, and we're supposed to be winners. You say, yeah, but I'm having some setbacks right now. Sure, but again, where you are is not who you are. We're all going to go through dips. We're all going to go through valleys. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Because in the end, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you see that? So he says, in the end, we'll be okay. So I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death without fear, not without challenge, not without contest, not without struggle or pain, without fear, because thou art with me. You see, I would love for God to fly me over the valley of the shadow of death. Ooh, wouldn't that be nice? I wouldn't even have to go through it. And I'd say, God, why don't you just take me by the hand like Simon and Garfunkel's old song, you know, bridge over troubled water. There you go, Wayne. Oh, thank you. I just went right over that valley. No. Instead, the Lord grabs you by the hand and drags you right through that valley. And he pulls you up on the other side. Why? Well, because you need to know the pains and the struggles that everybody else goes through. And you need to know that because I want you as a church to have compassion on those that are hurting. I want you to empathize. I want you to know exactly what they go through and not just paint them some roseola picture of everything should be nice and keen. No, we all have flaws. We all have setbacks. And the people don't want some airbrushed picture where everything, if you come to Christ, is just peaches and cream. They know we're going to have setbacks and problems and struggles and family. But what they're looking for is, how do you respond when those things happen? How do you live when you get let go? How do you live when you have just a little bit? What do you do? How do you ask for help? Is it okay to ask for help? What do you do if this happens? Can you show me? Show it to me real. Because I know it's not perfect and peaches and cream, but it's real. And if you'll have the courage enough to show me how to live in those valley times, that'll be the greatest lesson of all. And so God drags us right through it, puts us up on the other side. We're bloody and bruised, but he never let go of our hand. And in the end, we win. And he'll walk us all the way through. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art, I'm not immune from it, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, because I win. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, it's just a gorgeous psalm. Gorgeous. Winners. You ever watch winners? Compare them with losers. Yeah, if there's a huge tournament, a Super Bowl. Look at the winners. Man, they're just loving on each other. Oh, we won, we won. They hug each other. And if one says, oh, man, I messed up that one play, it's okay. Hey, we win. Come here, come here, come here, come here. There's a big hug. Don't you worry. Oh, man, you don't hear, hey, you should have passed the ball to me. No, we won. It's okay. It's okay. Hey, I messed up that one pass. I should have, you know, I should have gotten it, drilled it right to you, and I was 10 yards over your head. The receiver goes, hey, it's okay. We win. We'll get him next time. That pass will come right into my arms next time. Don't you worry about it. You look at winners. They're forgivers. They're rejoicers. They love being with each other. They hug one another. There's a genuine sense of fellowship and rejoicing. Now, look at losers. Yeah, if you would have passed me the ball, we may have won. That was so bad. Were you throwing with your wrong arm? And they grumble. They criticize, they destroy relationships. That's what losers do. And I wonder if some churches are loser churches or winner churches. My prayer is that we will be winner churches. Can you say amen?
Amen.
A winner church, so that we love each other and relationships are real important. Don't forget who you are. The world is watching for a place, a group of people that are like that. Does that mean we're perfect? No, look around you. We're imperfect as can be. But we got to figure it out. And we're going to stay committed to each other till the end. Do we have sometimes have to deliberate and work some things through? Yeah. Is it always fun? Eh, it's a little tough. But both, we have to remember, we love Jesus. And in the end, we win. I think one of my favorite stories is about a rabbi who was called by God to preach the gospel up in the Siberian tundra. Yet he was so depressed one day, he lost his identity. Things weren't happening. There was no fruit. And he wandered out of his house into the cold Siberian night. It was snowing like a snowstorm, and he was just going to get lost somewhere in the snowstorm. He was so depressed. The only thing that was colder than the night was a chill in his own soul. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know what God wanted of him. He didn't feel valuable at all. He was so despondent, so discouraged, that inadvertently he walks into a Russian compound that was off limits to civilians. In a little shack on the side, blurred by the falling snow, he heard the shout of a Russian guard holding a Kalashnikov rifle, and he said, "Who are you? And what are you doing here?" And the rabbi snapped to attention, said, "Excuse me? I said, who are you and what are you doing here?" The rabbi said, "How much do they pay you every day?" The Russian soldier said, "What does that have to do with this?" He said, "Because I'll pay you the same sum if you will ask me that same question every morning. Who are you and what are you doing here?" And there's going to be times on Sunday morning I'm going to be like that Russian soldier to you. And I'm going to say, "Who are you and what are you doing here?"
I'm not afraid to
You have just heard part one of a message entitled, Who Are You? By Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, here's a little sneak peek at what's in store for tomorrow.
We need to be as obvious. We need to take a stand. We need to be pillars and supports of the truth. But I want you to know that the world's going to say to the Christians, you just kind of like, get out of there so we can do our thing. We need to be noticed. No, no, no. You just stand. Having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. Everybody got that? Stand. Because if we fizzle out, what hope has the world?
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, remember that God has a plan for you. And it's a good plan, a plan to give you a future and a hope. God bless you as you walk hand in hand with Him today.